have received a submission from the Maritime Law Association. It is a written submission. They are not here to make a presentation. And because of that, we are then going to start by allowing the Department of Transport to comment on the submissions. That will be followed by the response from the State Law Advisor, as well as the response from the Parliamentary Legal Advisor. I, however, have to mention that the Acting Director General has apologized for not leading the delegation from the department, and she has also apologized for Ms. Hamida Fagira, who is the Deputy Director General on Maritime Transport. We have the Chief Director, Legal Services, as well as Chief Director, Maritime Transport. We will then give them an opportunity to introduce the delegation from the department and then move on to item 1.1, which is the response from the Department of Transport on comments made on the bill.
If I may ask Chair quickly before you move on, why are these guys not here, the Maritime Law Association?
That is in accordance with the processes of Parliament. Some people would come and make a verbal presentation, and others would just make a written submission and not come to make the verbal presentation. And in their case, they have chosen to make a written submission, and then the procedure is that based on that written submission, department to respond on what has been put forward by an interested party, and also allow the State Law Advisor to respond on that, as well as the Parliamentary Legal Advisor. That's why we are then taking that process.
While I completely understand that, Chair, and understand the process, I thought maybe there was a reason that they would have forwarded. I completely understand. Thanks.
They are saying that they are not able to come because of pressing work commitments during the course of this week, which is this week.
Thanks, Chairperson. I'm Adam Masombuga from Department of Transport in the Division Legal Services. Indeed, Chairperson, I would, for starters, emphasize the apology sent by the Director General and also the Acting Director General and also the Deputy Director General for Maritime Branch, who are engaged in other businesses of the department. With me, I've got a delegation from the department that will introduce themselves.
I'm Bakisen Ramayama. Apologies for the voice. Bakisen Ramayama from the Department of Transport, Maritime Policy Section.
I'm Johannes Matwati, Department of Transport, Corporate Legal Services.
I'm Nonjabulo Maphanga, Department of Transport, Parliamentary Liaison Officer for the Deputy Minister.
Morning, I'm Daksha Ketan, Parliamentary Legal Advisor.
Good morning. Thank you so much, Lekani, Parliamentary Liaison Officer, Department of Transport.
Good morning. My name is Tamani Mtembu, Assistant Parliamentary Liaison Officer, Ministry of Transport.
Chairman of the Office of the Chief State Lord was.
Honourable Ollis.
Chairperson, just pursuant to your discussion with my colleague next door here, are there any people presenting today from the public, or do we only have written submissions?
We only have a written submission. We followed the correct procedures of putting an advert, calling for people to register their interest so that we can then have public hearings. And we have set aside this time for public hearings. In actual fact, we should have started last week. But because of the request from the Maritime Law Association, we had to then postpone and start today.
Thanks, Chairperson. I understand that I should perhaps have asked this in a different way. Were any of them invited to make a presentation to the committee here, verbally? I know we've got written submissions from them here, but were any of these people invited to our committee meeting to make a presentation like we've done before?
There's only one party that has got has written a written submission. It is the Maritime Law Association. There is no other party that has made a written submission. And if then there were people who had made the written submissions, they would then be told on when we are holding the public hearings, because we don't invite people who have not shown any interest in making a submission. Can the department then go ahead and respond?
Thanks, Chairperson. We understand the agenda that is before the table, but we have been working in collaboration with the stable advisor, because a lot of things, they are just legal in nature rather than being content. And as per our arrangement, we thought that we agreed with the stable advisor to reply to this particular representation as per our discussion. Mr. Horn, you can proceed. Through your chairperson.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I'll start with the Merchant Shipping, the Civil Liability Convention, Bill 20. There's no kind of say structure to the attorneys' submission, so I've restructured. I'll start with Clause 2. Clause 2 of the bill. Deals with the enactment of the 92 protocol into law, which the attorneys have a problem. As a starting point to explain it, one has to look at section 231 of the Constitution, and it reads as follows, and subsection 1 says, the negotiating and signing of all international agreements is the responsibility of the National Executive. 2 says an international agreement binds the Republic only after it has been approved by resolution in both the National Assembly and the National Council of Provinces, unless it's an agreement referred to in Subsection 3. Subsection 3 refers to international agreements of a technical, administrative, or executive nature, which is not the case in this instance. So the next subsection 4, it says any international agreement becomes law in the Republic when it is enacted into law by national legislation, and it also referred to self-executing provisions, which is not the case here. And then subsection 5, it says the Republic is bound by international agreements which were binding on the Republic when this constitution took effect.
I just want to be on par with the presenter. Is he referring to the International Oil Pollution Compensation Bill?
The Civil Liability Convention, although it's Bill 20, in the shape of the conventions. This is the first convention. The fund is this, so the second convention. I don't know why you want this Bill 20. I've on Bill 19, but I started with Bill 20, the Civil Liability Convention. follows from section 2312 that an international agreement binds the Republic only after it has been approved by resolution in both the National Assembly and the National Council of Provinces. Obviously, unless it's an agreement of a technical or a administrative executive nature. The Protocol of 1992 to amend the International Convention on Civil Liability for Oil Pollution Damage 1969. It was approved on 23 October 1997 by the National Assembly and on 15 March 1999 by the National Council for Provinces in accordance with Section 2312 of the Constitution. The Protocol, as per its name, amends the Civil Liability for Oil Pollution, the Convention on Civil Liability for Oil Pollution Damage of 1969. Now, South Africa acceded to that convention with effect from 15 June 1976, and in terms of Section 2315 of the Constitution, the Republic is then bound by that international agreement. The problem that we had when we drafted this bill was that the Protocol of 1992 to amend the International Convention on Civil Liability for Oil Pollution Damage was approved by the NA and the NCOP. So in order to enact the Protocol into law, it has to be enacted into law by national legislation. That's in terms of 2313 of the Constitution. Article 11 of the Protocol has a specific provision, and it reads as follows. It says that 1969 Liability Convention and this Protocol shall, as between the parties to this Protocol, be read and interpreted together as a single instrument. And then it says Articles 1 to 12 ter, including the Model Certificate of the 1969 Liability Convention, as amended by this Protocol, shall be known as the International Convention on Civil Liability for Oil Pollution Damage 1992, the 92 Convention. So the reason why we cannot enact the 1992 Liability Convention, because there is no such instrument, and Parliament did not approve the 1992 Civil Liability Convention. It works with a fiction. But what we did, we also defined the 1992 Convention, Civil Liability Convention, in the bill, because that is the convention now that will rule the civil liability. So the attorneys, I understand the difficulty, but this is the way that the international conventions work, unfortunately. So we can't, and our constitution requires that Parliament approve a convention and then it's enacted into law. So the Protocol was approved by Parliament, and that is why the Protocol is enacted into law. But resulting from that is what we call the 1992 Liability Convention, which is then dealt with in the bill. I don't understand with the question to amend the how the amendments to the convention will be done in clear, simple, and to have a clear, simple, and responsive mechanism for incorporating amendments. I do not understand it, because our constitution is the supreme law, and we are bound by the constitution. And the constitution requires that international agreements must first be approved by Parliament before it can be enacted into law. So that is why clause 2.2 of the bill seek to achieve this by saying that as soon as Parliament approve the convention, the amendment conventions, then the minister can publish that for comment. I don't know, Chair, if they want to stop here for questions, or should we carry on?
No, you can carry on.
Chair, then clause 4, I have to agree that there is a problem. The two clauses should be in line, and I would suggest that the clause 4 of the Civil Liability Convention be brought into line with the one of the of Bill 19 of the Merchant Shipping International War Pollution Compensation Fund. The bill was originally drafted by two persons, and the Bill 19 clause is the right clause. Because the Bill 20, it creates the impression that this bill will have extraterritorial working, which it doesn't have. Then, Chair, clauses 7 and 8, the attorneys have a problem with the jurisdiction of which High Court has the jurisdiction. Well, there's only one High Court in terms of the Superior Courts Act, that was Act 10 of 2013 and its predecessor. And it consists of divisions. And the minister, after consultation with the Judicial Service Commission, determines the areas under the jurisdiction of each division. So what we have to do is to read all the laws together. You cannot in one law every time include provisions of other bills. So what they also talk of extraterritorial operation. Well, there is a general presumption against, if you want to make a bill extraterritorial, you must say explicitly that this bill has extraterritorial application. So clauses 7 and 8 of the bill must be read with the 1992 Liability Convention, must also read with the Superior Courts Act, and also the Admiralty Jurisdiction Regulation Act. Then the jurisdiction of the courts will be clear. It will be obviously if the pollution is in the area of the division of the High Court, that High Court will have jurisdiction in that instance. Chair, then why not only pieces of the convention was enacted into law? That would create more problems, really, than the other way around. I don't understand what the attorneys see as a problematic, because Parliament approved the protocol. So the protocol obviously complies with, it's not inconsistent with the Constitution, and the convention must be read as a whole, together with the bill. And this is done, this has been done previously by this Parliament in the Think of the World Heritage Convention Act or the Anti-Personnel Mines Prohibition Act. So this is practice to do it this way, and it makes sense because the whole convention is applicable here. So I don't understand. They could put it this way. They referred to a 2009 version of the bill. And that bill was drafted in more or less in line with an Australian piece of legislation. But they have a federal system, and they have a system where the parliament delegate to states legislative power, which can't work, which is different than our constitution. So that is the reason why we enact the whole convention into law. Chair, then the next two sections or clauses, rather 15 and 16, I would ask the department to explain. This is more of let me put it this way. It was inserted by SAMHSA, and they explained it when we drafted the bills. So I would ask them to deal with it.
That I'm not sure whether members would like to have a bite in terms of questions to to the presentation that was just made, or should we allow the next one to the department to proceed to close 15 and 16? Any questions so far? Because as you, for me, maybe as you are making this presentation also, you must give us some confidence. Because if you say you are not sure and yet you want us to deal with it, surely you put us in a bit of an awkward situation as laymen, because we are not the legal people. So what do you say? And I'm trying to reconcile the 1992 vis-a-vis the constitution adopted in 1996. So you need also to assist us in that regard, so that when we go into the chamber or to the house, we must speak with one voice.
Yeah, Chair, that's just the name that was given to it by the protocol. We acceded to it in 2005. Then we so it is in terms of the constitution that it was approved. I'm not sure if I answer the question. I can just as a we didn't have time as a department and the authority and the law advisors to meet, so we worked on emails and separately. That is the only reason that I'm hesitating to answer some of the last two clauses without talking to SAMHSA.
Also, Chair, we must hastily point out that the time we started working on this bill is almost 7 or 8 years ago. And most, if you look at clauses, sections 15 and 16, it's something that we just have to confer with SAMHSA. We can submit an answer to the secretary if it's in order with the committee itself.
Right, there you are, Honourable Member, colleagues.
So SAMHSA is not here. No representative of SAMHSA is here.
No.
So we're considering a bill that affects them directly and they're not even here. That's shocking. Chairperson, this is a maritime bill which they're going to have to enforce and they're not even at our committee. I mean, that's highly irregular, to say the least. I mean, what are they doing? Are they having lunch somewhere? This is their bill, surely.
I must allay Honourable Policy's concern. OBE that they should be here. When we started the process itself, they were part of it. So most of the contents of the bill as they stand now, they are aware. It could be that they have other commitments, or better yet, maybe the Chief Director in Maritime can explain that.
Honourable
Ollis. Thanks, Chairperson. Just to brief you, while you were out of the room, it just came to light that SAMHSA is not here, and this bill is a maritime bill which SAMHSA has to enforce. And the official was just explaining that SAMHSA has been part of the whole process of drafting this bill, but they're not here today, which does present us with a difficulty. I mean, I'm not a marine expert and I don't have particular problems with this bill, so I'm not, you know, throwing toys or making a political statement. I don't have a political position on this bill yet. I'm still trying to get to learn. But it strikes me, Chairperson, it's really strange and difficult for us to deal with the bill when SAMHSA is not here. We can't ask them questions. You know, the clause 15 and 16, for example, as the law advisor tells us, was specifically drafted or requested by SAMHSA. So now we can't ask them to explain it because they're not here. It just puts us in a good position.
In the response to that, Chairperson, we are noting section 15 and 16, and we will provide a written response. And in the near future, we'll make sure that SAMHSA is here. Chairperson, the department made a presentation as you went out for want to go to clause section 15 and 16, I raised a question from the legal people to say, look, you are, as you present it with a benefit of doubt, with some doubts. Where do you place us as members of this committee? Because if you say you're not sure and we are pointing to certain areas, and I was a bit specific also to say, look, if this bill relates to issues of 1992, and our constitution has been adopted in 1996, where do you place us, right? Because it should be fall in line with our constitution so that we are able to be consistent. the response was that they needed to confer with SAMHSA on certain positions about the bill. Now, following up, then it came that SAMHSA is not part of the meeting. That's why the question. Now, I was not sure for us, because they made a request to come back in terms of the written response to consult or to confer with SAMHSA on these clauses, 15 and 16. That's why we are having a bit of a difficulty and the line of questions that are being raised, because I wanted to pursue a further matter on the issue, because I would have thought that Parliament, through or the Department, when they were initiating this bill, surely they took a best practice and wanted to be part of the international community. But then an input was made that it was taken from Australia, for instance. Not Australia, what is this country? Which is a bit federal. That's what was said. Now, we are here as South Africans. South Africa is not a federal state, and we need to domesticate what they've learned to our situation. Now, how do we do that? Because it seems to me there is a difficulty, and it's a complex matter for South African, not unless otherwise. I'm saying I wanted some clarity on the input that was made by the department.
Thank you, Chair. Sorry, I'm sorry, Chair, I confused the matter, but I was referring to the attorneys referred to a 2009 version of the bill. Now, that bill, that version was drafted along the wrong lines. So that is why it was redrafted, and the bill before for Parliament now is a totally different bill. So the attorneys are now unhappy that they looked at it. But the 2009 bill is not looking at the same as the bill now. But the reason was exactly that. That was the wrong model to follow. And we didn't follow that model because of our constitution. And the 92 name of the bill is just after protocol. It's just when the protocol was drafted, but South Africa Parliament, we adopted, the National Assembly adopted the protocol in 1997, and the National Council of Provinces on March 1999. So that was after the constitution in democracy, when it was approved by Parliament.
No, then Chairperson, I'm covered, because that explanation now nullifies the one that I was raising, because I was taking the cue from what you presented to us. That's why I had to probe this question. Now that you have clarified, and also the two houses rectify that, well, no problem. Thank you.
In my understanding, there are two issues. There is an issue that relates to the Maritime Law Association of South Africa, of their understanding of the bill, and their argument in terms of issues that they are raising is based on the bill that was drafted in 2009. And this bill, which was a draft that was based on the Australian model. And this one is not based on the Australian model. So they are responding to that. And my view is that we need to find each other on that with them. They need to understand the processes that have taken place, because they are still arguing on the basis of that, that it is different from what was drafted in 2009. And they are also raising an issue that they had limited time to respond to the bill. The second issue that we need to deal with and arrive at how we move forward as the portfolio committee is the issue raised by both Honorable Suga and Honorable Ollis. And I also want to add my voice on that, that it is for the first time that we would process a bill which relates to a state-owned entity in terms of implementation, and we don't have that state-owned entity as part of the discussions and processing the bill. We only have the department, because it would then, even though the department is saying they work with SAMHSA, we want to hear the voice of SAMHSA saying, yes, we agree with the department on this issue, because SAMHSA becomes the implementing agent of what we shall then have agreed here. And if we don't hear from them, the horse's mouth, that they are in agreement with what is being presented to us, we may find ourselves in a bad situation when at a later stage they come up and raise some issues. It has happened in the past that like we are dealing with the proposal of one of the entities which is saying we are hamstrung by an act that was processed through Parliament, which specifies that when we are collecting, we are following the defaulters who have not paid for traffic, for the violation of traffic laws. We only have to do that by sending a letter through, a registered letter through a post office. And if that entity was there when that was passed by, was processed by Parliament, they would have raised an issue that it would be difficult for them to be locked into one particular way of following defaulters, when there are many other ways which are would have been more effective. So we don't want to process a bill which, without the entity being present, which may have, in their view, some restrictions, as it happens with the with the, what is this entity? Yes, Artea. As it happens with Artea, that we have to go through the whole process again and amend what was agreed to here in Parliament, what was approved by Parliament, that they only have to use the registered letter to actually follow a person who has not paid for AMA traffic fines. What would be the response of the department in that? And in view of that, we would think that we need to postpone and allow both the Maritime Law Association of South Africa to be present, as well as SAMHSA to be present.
Chairperson, we cannot agree more to what you have just stated. We normally, when we present bills, invite our entities, especially those that will be implementing the bill. It might have just have been an oversight on our part for having not made sure that they are also here. Chairperson, we are agreeable. can defer this bill so that we can get those two parties to be available. And we will also make sure that our response to the whole document of the Maritime Law Association is given to the committee in writing. Thank you.
That would also allow us to have the Maritime Law Association of South Africa making their presentation and arguing their point. Thanks. This the processing of this bill is in effect until next week.
As we defer, I concur, but surely the department must come more organized because there's time constraints and time limits in processing these bills. Otherwise, if we missed out, surely there'll be negative implications. Thank you.
Yeah, if we can have arguments presented in writing, like the argument that is being presented by the Maritime Law Association of South Africa, it is in a written form. And if we can have all the arguments presented in a written form, it would assist also in terms of processing that. Because it would also allow us to read even before we even come here and do our own research. Thank you. Thanks. So the processing of the bill is deferred until next week. We will then deal with the minister.